I am all in.
With Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Guys, good to see you.
Huh? Good to see you.
How
too,
you
man.
Doing?
It's been
How
a while.
Yes, it has. And I met Matt on Beverly Hills 90210. Your showrunner was on the writing staff at Gilmore, and she called me and said, "Hey, you want to do an arc on play Matt Lanter's dad?" I said, "Sign me up. Thank you very much."
Yeah. So I went back and I actually watched the episode where you came in because, you know, honestly, like, and same with you, you know, this stuff, when you do so many like episodes, hundreds of episodes, it's hard to remember. And,
right.
And
it is.
So I went back, I watched it, kind of watched your entrance and kind of what your character was all about. You weren't a real nice dad.
No, I wasn't.
You were trying to get me to like steal my stepdad's fortune. So
it's just,
anyway,
I don't know.
Yeah, but good times. And you know, you mentioned Rebecca.
Yeah.
You mentioned Rebecca. And I think that Liam, from sort of that season two on, when Rebecca really came into 90210, there was a lot of Luke influence in Liam. Mm. And to be honest with you, I didn't realize that at the time. I had not seen Gilmore Girls at that time.
Interesting.
But looking back, I mean, there's so many similarities. And I feel like the season one Liam that we saw in 90210 was a little different from season two going forward.
Right.
And season two going forward, I really felt like there was a lot of Luke influence.
Huh.
And actually like a little bit of Jess
right.
influence, I think. Kind of that wrong side of the tracks kid. And
right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, even to the point where in 90210, they got me a green army jacket, which I know was one of your things, right? I saw you wearing a green army jacket in the episode of Gilmore Girls that we're about to talk about.
Right. Oh, yeah. Did you guys, and you know, the one thing that I remember most clearly about that experience, and what year was that? Was that like 2013, 2014?
Nine or ten, somewhere there.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Because that was the first year we were dating long distance. That's how I know. That's 2009.
Yeah, I think 90210 started in 2008. It very well might have been 09 when we had our stuff together.
Because I tell you, I felt like I was away from the business for a while. I mean, I was kind of doing that indie film kind of thing and doing low budget stuff because I'd done a series for NBC in 2010. Bled into 2011, and I did 90210. No, it was. It couldn't have been 09.
I think so.
Was it? Yeah. Was it?
Possibly it was.
Because I felt like I was so.
Right?
I
or season one.
It possibly could have been early 10.
I'll tell you why it was so shocking. You know why it was so shocking? Okay. It's because of the level of craft service there. I mean, the food was everywhere and it was super high quality and there were these massive amounts of it. And I walked onto that soundstage and I was just like, God, man, it's nice to be back to network television. You know what I mean? It's like, this
yeah,
really
I love
great.
That we had great craft service for all of these.
The best.
Like, they wanted us to take our shirts off at the beach all the time. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, there's an amazing spread.
You can't enjoy the desserts.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I was so happy to be on that set. You have no idea. And wasn't Lori Loughlin was on that show, right?
She was.
Yeah.
And Rob Estes played the parents.
And I reunited with those two. And who was that nice girl? She was so nice. The young girl, the blonde girl from Texas. I'm terrible with names, but she's a known actress and. Angela McCord.
Anna Lynn McCord.
She was lovely and welcoming, and it was just such a great experience. You guys were great. You guys were just great.
Oh, well,
I love
that
whole thing.
That you had a great experience. I mean, that's awesome.
I reckon if you ever reboot that show, call me, okay? Because
what are they going to do? Reboot it for like the eighth time?
Why not? I mean, come on.
You never know.
That's the world we live in, right?
That's true.
So So what are you guys doing now? How many kids you have?
Just the one.
You got the one. Okay.
Yeah. Although sometimes she kind of classifies me as a kid.
Well, that's I've got my hands. My wife does the same thing to me. So,
we're guys. It's just, that's what we are. We're big babies. We moved from LA, to Nashville, actually. We're kind of basing ourselves in Nashville. And as you know, we have to travel everywhere to work now, especially now. Okay. So we kind of, at some point we were like, well, we're going all over the place to do TV series anyway. Might as well just move our home base and, you know, have our kid grow up somewhere with a yard and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
So we're based in Nashville now.
You know, we were looking, I was looking in Brentwood and Franklin, and I was looking in all those areas. There's a big wave of LA people going to Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's pretty wild. Yeah. Like 60% of, I think, new people in our neighborhood are from California.
Wow. I think it's like Southern California specifically.
Yeah, really? it's wild. And that's one of the reasons also that we kind of chose Nashville. And we kind of chose it right before all the pandemic stuff started. Yeah. So we kind of
we're
got
trendsetters.
Out. But the city is really blowing up, this influx of people. And also we kind of felt like it felt a little bit like a sister city to LA in terms of just, it's an entertainment minded city.
Right.
Like the city gets entertainment. Right. So there's a lot of people from the area, a lot of flights, a lot of people with dual homes.
And there's no traffic. Well,
really?
Not compared.
No. And pretty much the majority of our friends have followed us here. So we have a nice little group of friends here.
A lot of people have.
Yeah.
Come on down, Scott.
I'm actually scheduled to be down there at the end of February because I'm doing some songwriting sessions with all these great country artists for an entire week.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm going to perform at the Bluebird Cafe, I think.
Oh, no way.
Can we see you?
Sure. Yeah.
We've never been to Bluebird.
Yeah. I haven't either. I understand it's very quaint, very small. Yeah. Everybody's like, I could reach out and touch people in the audience. But
super unassuming.
Yeah, right. So
strip mall.
Right. So, but now I just, I don't know if I'm going to probably have to move that because I got an offer to do a film that starts mid-February. And I don't know if I can kind of manage a schedule and go from that location to Nashville for a week to do that. But I'm really excited about that Nashville opportunity.
Well, if you do, or when
I'll let you know.
Please hit me up. We'll exchange information here.
Yeah. I think I'll stay in Nashville proper, and then I'll just go to the Warner Chapel and use they've got me coming in and writing with some of their top people. And
that's amazing.
I'm just completely intimidated by that whole situation, but I'm going to go through with it.
Hey, they say anybody who's everybody has been through the Bluebird. So consider yourself somebody.
It's like, if I remember the words.
You're one step to the Opry there. Yeah. It feels like.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Wouldn't that be something? But anyway, yeah. So the whole, I looked all over and, we did get out of LA, but we didn't go very far. We went closer to the beach.
Did you? Hey, by the beach can never be bad.
But man, I was so close. There were some great homes. There were some great homes for sale.
Yeah.
Oh my. And they're so big. And they big yards.
The prices are starting to skyrocket in the area, but still compared. I mean, it really is pretty, and especially when we moved it. What we were able to get for the same amount of money that we were in LA. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. I know. Yeah. Huh? What was that? Sorry, Angela.
You actually get a yard here.
Right.
You get a place for your kids to stretch their legs and good schools. Yeah.
Now I just take my boy on the beach and chase him around. He chases me around and then
love it.
I collapse. That kind of thing. So what's going on with you guys? I mean, what kind of stuff are you doing? Did you watch the episode?
We did.
Yeah.
So what do you think? So let's talk about the episode a little bit. What did you think of this episode?
So I mean, as you know, we are fans of Gilmore Girls. The way it started was I was actually filming a pilot in I was filming a show called Timeless. And Angela came up to visit, and she was kind of there for a week in the hotel room. And when I'd come home after filming, she was watching this new show that she hadn't watched before. Of course, we've heard about it.
Yeah.
But called Gilmore Girls.
Uh-huh. This was in 2016.
And so
2016?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Matt, you hadn't heard of Gilmore Girls?
No, I had heard of it. I hadn't seen it.
Because we worked together. I came from Gilmore Girls. I played your dad.
Of course.
Where did you think I came from?
We knew about the show. We just had never sat down and watched it in order.
Ah.
So that was like, you know, with him doing a pilot, I'm sure you understand the pilot situation.
There's no time to do anything.
No life.
Right.
No life. So I'm sitting in Vancouver in a hotel room by myself, just in the middle of winter.
Right.
Yeah. Watching Gilmore Girls.
Were you at the Sutton place?
Yeah. Of course.
Well, of course. Yeah, the Sutton.
Where every actor goes.
Of course.
That's right. So I would come home and I zonk out on the bed, maybe get a little back scratch or something while we watch Gilmore Girls.
He's downplaying it. That was the negotiation. I will watch this with you if you scratch my back.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And so we started watching it and I kind of got into it. I think,
you started to fall in love with the characters.
Yeah.
And honestly, we've always felt that Stars Hollow is a character. And so absolutely. In the show.
Yeah. I mean, the location definitely plays a character. No doubt. Yeah.
But just the charm of it.
Anyway, so fast forward, we ended up watching the whole series. We love it. We've got numerous friends that watch it actually on a yearly basis. They go through and do a rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did a Gilmore Girls trivia night in Ohio a couple of months ago when we were there. And I know you saw that Halloween picture that we did as Luke and Lorelai and Rory, but, anyway, so the episode, I loved it. Something different for me in this episode that stood out to me, I should say, is I felt like there was a lot of I don't want to call them auxiliary characters, but it wasn't necessarily a Lorelai or a Luke or a Rory. They had pretty deep storylines. You had Lane, and I felt like, although the themes that we saw were common themes in the series, I felt like this episode was a little more
meaty.
Yeah, like weighty. We
got a proposal out of it, you know?
There was that very real proposal, the very real talk between them about taking a step forward in their relationship. You really saw Lane kind of going through it with her mom in kind of a weighty way. And again, I know we see that. That's one of her big storylines. Her mom is so overbearing, but often, as you know, Gilmore Girls is kind of light and fluffy and fun. It's one of the reasons we all love it.
Yeah.
But I just felt like there was a lot of weight. There's a lot of weight to these storylines in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stakes were high.
I find myself identifying with Lane a lot because of the way I grew up and my friends. I grew up in a very strict home. Went to a teeny tiny Christian school, and the lockdown on these friends. Like, I watched Lane with her mom, and I'm like, yeah, I went to school with her. I know her. I know Mrs. Kim. I know that life so well. So it just always hits home for me when I watch those storylines with her.
So maybe you can explain this to me, because we discussed this on the podcast that we just recorded. This separate episode. Lane, having met the perfect guy who her mother would approve of in Henry Cho, okay? He's going to be a doctor. He's a good-looking guy. He likes Lane. She likes him.
He's Korean.
He's a Bible counselor.
She checks all the boxes for her mother. Why, Angela? Because the logic of it didn't make sense to me. Why wouldn't Lane use Henry Cho as the get out of jail free card with her mom?
Because she didn't want to give her mom the satisfaction of being right.
Interesting.
In my opinion.
Because she didn't trust her.
She just feels like if I date this guy and I really like him, I'm giving my mom her way. So it's kind of like the good girls who get raised in the crazy strict home who just go completely off the deep end just to kind of stick it to their parents.
Right.
Kind of like that, I think.
Right.
But then I think that once she lost him and she realized how much she liked him, it was like, man, I screwed up because like that didn't even matter. The situation with my mom didn't matter because now I've got a heartbreak.
Like there was something more real about it than just, oh, mom's overbearing. I think that's what, that's kind of going back to what I'm saying. I felt like there was a lot of like very real weighty things happening. It wasn't just a boy she liked at school. Like, it was a potential like real emotional relationship, you know?
I've watched that with girlfriends that I've grown up with, that they won't go out with a guy or entertain a guy that they like just because it'll please their parents. They want to just do whatever it is to just make their parents mad, because they feel like they've been so, what's the word I'm looking
repressed.
For?
Yeah, but she was heartbroken over it though.
She was.
And I think they both realize in that moment, right, after the argument subsides and Mrs. Kim says, wait a minute, he's a doctor, he's Korean? And I think they both feel the loss in different ways. Yeah. I think it's a very, very full moment. It was the fullest moment of the entire episode, because absolutely. Mrs. Kim was second-guessing herself about her parenting techniques. Right. And I think I've hurt my daughter now. My daughter is in pain, and I think I've been overbearing. And
I'm the one at fault.
Oh my God. Did I do something wrong here to cause my daughter to hide and mistreat Henry Cho?
Yeah, I think it's even more so less, not the fact that she's hurt. It's more so the fact that like my parenting has caused her to go even further to hide stuff from me,
right?
Which is what I've tried so hard to get her not to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. Gosh. What a moment.
Yeah. That's why I feel like there was a lot of that going on with all of these characters, kind of like deeper, bigger life moments than just your typical Gilmore Girls, fun and fluffy in a way.
Right.
I don't mean that in a way to take away from the storyline. It's not what I mean. I don't know. It just felt so real. Like,
it was a weighty episode because we're seeing Dean get so aggressive in his jealousy. Yeah.
Well, Angela, we're watching the episode and she was like, Dean is just a jerk. And I'm like, I totally understand where Dean's coming from.
The first time I watched it, I didn't have that opinion, but as I've watched season one through again and season two, I feel that he's unhealthy in his pursuit of not necessarily his pursuit, but his relationship. I feel like he's intense.
I couldn't disagree more.
Okay, you too. Come on. We discussed Dean and that love triangle, Dean, Rory, and Jess love triangle.
Yeah.
At length, and I think as an actor, Jared looked at that and said, "Boy, I have to commit to this stuff. I have to play this stuff." Because that's my job to do this, to push her over to Jess. And Jess, being cool, calm, and collected the whole time, has the easiest role in the world, where he's just like, you know, cool, calm, and collected. She's going to come to me. I'm super good looking. I'm literate. We're reading the same books. And, you know, this is the girl that has some baggage from the way she grew up. And obviously I have baggage. There's darkness in both of them. Right. I really, and there's a self-sufficiency and a maturity with both of them. Yeah. There's a sophistication with both of them there.
Yep.
And you don't find that with Dean. He started out that way in the pilot episode. Dean was a cool, mysterious guy that she fell for. And now look at him. He's like running to her mommy saying whining. And it's a destruction of a character.
Let me defend Dean for a minute. Let me defend the character for a minute.
Somebody needs to.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Because that's a tough one. That's a tough one, counselor. I mean, you're taking on a tough client there. He's been guilty as charged.
To be fair, the first time I watched Gilmore Girls through, I was team Dean. I would bleed Dean.
Right.
The second time I've watched it through, I have a different...
Right.
I'm not team either one. Okay. I really like both characters. I really like Milo. He's a great dude. I know he's a really nice dude. I feel like I can identify with Dean. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that he was overreacting. He was humiliated. Like as a man,
yes.
Scott.
Yes.
You to be publicly humiliated like that by another guy.
And have your girl not defend you.
Right.
That showed me that Rory didn't love him.
It cuts deep.
Yes, it
and
does.
It shows.
You're
it shows
right. Angela, he's right. He was publicly humiliated.
No, I agree with that. I do agree with that.
It shows a disrespect. At the core of a man, I think a man needs to feel respected, right? Whether it's by a woman or by his woman, or by another man, whatever. Yes. Men need to be respected. So when Dean is publicly humiliated and he's under the thumb of
Jess,
and then also, like you said, his girlfriend, who his, you know, his ride or die,
right,
is, doesn't come to his,
right,
his help. In fact, she sort of goes and, you know, sleeps with the enemy.
Yes.
It is a total disrespect.
Yes.
A slap in the face, and he couldn't do anything about it.
Well, what was she supposed to do? Was she supposed to some tradition?
I'm not.
Yes,
I'm not,
she is. She absolutely is. She's supposed to say, you know what? You're slimy.
Yeah.
I don't care about your $90. That's my man. Here's your picnic basket. Go. You want your money back? Get it back from Taylor.
Yeah, I think you're
right,
Scott.
That was the move. That shows a guy like, that's my girl, love her. That would have solidified their relationship, blown away, but Rory didn't feel that way.
Also, let me point out that Dean was right. She ends up having a little thing with Jess.
She develops feelings for him.
Right. Dean was right.
But he, okay, so another thing that he has to realize is he can't control her. Yeah, he was an impossible situation and he overreacted to it. I think the only thing that he could have done to maybe scramble her brain a little bit was not react and go, oh, you want to be with him? Go ahead, I'm out. Walked away. And then that's on her mind during.
And then who do you think she's going to want? She's going to want him.
She's going to want Dean.
Yeah. It's a game.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Love is the game. It's the chasing. It's the pursuing.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right. And the feelings are so intense.
You got to take your brain back to that instead of like where you are. You're rational now. When you have hormones racing through you at 16 years old, you're not rational.
Yeah.
You're thinking about like who's going to come at me the hardest. I mean, and then on the flip side of that,
you're talking about specifically a female brain.
No.
I don't think men do that.
I disagree.
Men don't go, which girl's gonna, I don't know.
I disagree. So it goes both ways.
I'm not advocating that Dean was correct in everything he did and that this is the way it should have gone. I'm just saying I have empathy for that character and what he did and how he reacted. And it turns out he was right.
I think her reaction to Jess in front of Dean escalated the situation and Dean's freak out because he was seeing that his woman that he was pouring his time, his love, his thoughts into was not reciprocating and that she was obviously interested and not disturbed by this other guy. Why isn't she disturbed like I am?
Right.
Yeah. She just sort of.
So that ups his anxiety. It escalates the situation. He comes unglued. He runs to the mommy, relationship over.
Yeah.
He totally wimped out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed. Too bad.
And he didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve it, but he's young. He'll get over it.
I've been in that situation.
One more vote for Dean here and why I'm going to stick up for Dean one more time.
Go ahead.
Because you mentioned he runs to mommy and I just feel like that phrase is unfair because in this situation, Lorelai is not your typical mom. Lorelai is almost more of a friend and the only lifeline to Rory.
I can't say anything because I have been in a very similar situation and I have seen my ex-boyfriends go to my mom.
Yeah,
not good.
I mean, when he gets mad at me, he goes to my mom.
That is not true. That's not true at all.
But you know what? I think in a committed relationship, that happens more often than not, you know? But I think I think he thought he was in a committed relationship and he realizes he's not. So he's going to Lorelai out of this sort of concern, but it was really more concern for himself and his,
right.
You know, well, I think if he was trying to pose like, I'm really concerned about your daughter and she's making bad choices.
Sure.
It's
sure.
So personal for him.
You're right.
It's trying to get Lorelai on his team so that she can come down on Rory and say, hey, what you're doing isn't right. You should be with
somebody protect my heart. My heart is hurting.
Yes,
protect.
That's exactly what it is.
I can see that.
I mean, they're 16 years old.
You just got to be casual and hang loose like I am with my pajamas.
Hey.
I've been trying to figure out who was on there and I kept seeing hat thinking it was hair. And I was like, do you have JTT on your shirt?
So where do we get that? Can we get that at our local?
That was from the last, the Jackson wore a pair of pajamas in the episode before this, where he had headshots of himself and him in his wrestling gear all over his pajamas. And he was hiding from Lorelai, and then he came out in these pajamas. So we just did a gag on the previous thing. I'm glad it was amazing, you guys.
That's going to be my new Christmas jammies next year. Is your face?
I don't know. I'll find. Amy got these. They sent them to me. And I proudly, and I wear these with great dignity. I want you to know that. Yeah, we discussed that at length. We also enjoyed the Suki Jackson interaction. And it was my opinion that Suki was just, and Angela, you can help us here. But it is my contention that Suki was just toying, was just playing Jackson to get him to that point where he proposed.
I think she was freaking out.
You thought she was freaking out?
Yeah.
But how did she, here's the thing. How did she not pick up on the fact that he was so disappointed about?
I mean, you are talking about somebody who's like totally aloof and is like walking through the kitchen, catching things on fire, and people are going behind her.
But the beauty of her is she's tuned into her intimates. She anticipates things that Lorelai says before she's going to say them about Rory, because she's tuned into her intimates. She's tuned into Rory. Why is she not tuned into Jackson? That's her ultimate intimate. And he's standing there, obviously saying, I want to move in with you. But I think it's my contention that she's the kind of girl that doesn't want to live with somebody. She wants to be married. So I think she wasn't going to be that girl, but she's just too nice to say, hey, I'm not that girl, and reject him. She gave him a chance to figure it out on his own, right? By just completely reject, not even acknowledging the my lease is up. Like she knew what he was asking her to say. She knew it.
I'm confused. I'm confused by that moment, because the majority of the episode, it feels like she's totally aloof, doesn't get it. But then at the end, she does say, yes, I have thought about living together. You know,
yeah, she confessed. Lot. She goes, I lied.
Right.
As he was walking away the second time.
So right? So she did pick up on all of his hurt and his pain. She
absolutely
knew.
Did. But she wanted a marriage proposal. She was not going to be the girl that lived in sin.
Right.
But I feel like she would have just said that to him if that was the case.
I don't know. I just think it puts her in a very precarious position for her having to say that to him. She doesn't want to have to prompt him.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I do want to say that it's probably the worst proposal in television history.
Very lackluster.
Like, we're watching this. It's so forgettable that I didn't even remember that it happened this episode. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's no ring. Okay, no ring. Whatever. But at least, like, put some thought into it. Not in conversation. Hey, what do you think about getting married?
Yeah.
Like, come on. They're, like, main characters.
I know. I tell you, they really screw up. You know, there's something about this show. I'm going to make a statement here. Some people aren't going to like it, but they really screw up proposals on this show, don't they? They screwed up the Luke and Lorelai one too, where I'm like making this big speech and then she proposes to me, right? You remember that? I had a big problem with that. I did. And now this, and you point this out now. And here's this big moment, but this is what they do. They make the big things small and the small things big. They do the opposite of whatever this is. They're constantly doing this. They're constantly doing
what I was about to
this.
This
is their pattern.
It's the quirkiness of the series.
Right.
I have a hard time believing that would come from Jackson, because he put so much thought into pursuing her to move in together that he's just going to casually throw it out in a conversation. Like, it's a throwaway offer of like, let's get married. There was no thought behind it. Right. No preciousness about the moment.
Right.
And
he just completely out of the blue put her on the spot, and she had every right to say no, or at least let me think about it.
Right.
It just felt like an afterthought.
It's like, if you're going to really romance somebody and you really love them, you're going to let them know that a special moment is happening with this special dinner, and then there's so many roses and you know, the woman sort of knows what's going to happen because there's an elevated level of romance and nervousness right. coming from the guy and, you know, whatever, they get it. You know, women yeah. are really smart. I mean, they're smarter than we are. I mean, it's like, and we think we're being so, you know, clever, and we're not. And she didn't get that. And I think you're right. I think that kind of a marriage proposal deserves something grand. And it
well, I mean, not even necessarily grand, just some thought.
Just something.
Right.
Like you do it one time. If you're marrying somebody for life, you get to ask them one time.
Right. That's their memory of that moment when they decide, you know, and it's got to, I think it's got to be more of a production. Yeah.
Well, as viewers, and I've seen the show, you know, I've seen that episode, I don't know how many times, I still forgot that was in that episode. So it shows you how forgettable
not
it is.
Not a memorable moment.
I mean, was that leaning more into Jackson's character than to her? You know, because he's a simple guy. He's a simple guy. He's a farmer. He brings his fruit in, drops it off, says, I'll bring in another basket of fruit tomorrow. Like, you know what I mean?
It was such a big deal when he asked her out for the first time. Like
but it's love. It's
true.
You're going to propose. It's the ultimate question that you ask somebody in your life.
Yeah.
You're right. Angela, you know what? You're right. No, I changed my mind. No, I'm not so interested in moving in. No, I'm having second thoughts about it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, why don't we just get married? Yeah, you're right. It was cheap. It was cheap and easy and no thought. I agree with you.
I could see that. Maybe we can get those actors to reshoot a new scene. God.
You know what? The only cure for this is to do a reboot with Netflix, and it's a Luke and Lorelei massive wedding, and then it's a redo for Jackson and Suki. It could be a triple wedding. It could be Jackson Suki redo. It could be Luke and Lorelei redo. It could be Melissa McCarthy, Rory.
She's not doing anything, right?
A Rory and baby, Rory, whoever the baby daddy is.
So do you really not know who the baby daddy is?
I'll never tell.
No! I mean, do you know really, or do you not know? You don't have to tell us who it is, but do you know?
I'll never tell.
Oh, come on.
I got
come on.
Listen, knowledge is power. And
I'm about to exit this interview.
No, you're not.
I have a lot of feelings about the reboot, and a lot of I have a very in-depth blog post because I'm a blogger, so I have very in-depth, very lengthy blog post review of the reboot. Remember that? That's one of my most popular blog posts, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you rip it apart? Yes, you did, didn't you?
It felt like,
and I'm not a TV reviewer. I'm not. I'm a lifestyle blogger. I do makeup tutorials. That's my jam.
Uh-huh.
So, but that show, like, we were up at midnight in Vancouver.
Right,
that's true.
Actually, we were in Whistler because it was over Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, that's true.
We were in Whistler waiting for midnight to press play on that. We were so excited.
Were you throwing shoes at the TV? Did it get to that point?
I only do that when I play video games.
I think that it just felt like a departure. And I know you've heard this, I'm sure, the chatter, especially with Rory. It just felt like a departure for some of the characters. Obviously, it's got nothing to do with the acting. Everything looked great. It's just the story.
It felt like a different show.
The direction of the characters felt, totally different.
It's like Sex and the City, the reboot right now. It's a different show.
Oh, really? I didn't.
Completely different show.
Oh, it's tough. I guess it's tough to capture that flavor 10 years later,
I don't think that it's necessarily the flavor. Well, I'm speaking specifically about Sex and the City. They've made it so of essence of now versus what it was then. And they tried to evolve with the times. And it's no longer.
Right.
The same show,
but the characters aged, right? So you have to do that. So wouldn't it be awkward? I mean, would it have been awkward if, you know, we were 9 years older, but we were going back to Stars Hollow 2008?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with the characters being older. No. It was actually like the.
But I mean, that's what the producers are forced to do, is to put it in the here and now, because when it was it was airing, it was here and now, right?
Look, my biggest beef with the reboot for Gilmore Girls is the fact that they made Rory completely a different person. That was tough. All of a sudden, she is not the responsible, you know, heartwarming, loving young girl, which she's a woman now, but you don't all of a sudden grow up one day and lose your ability to be a responsible human being.
It didn't feel like an evolution of a character. It felt like a different character.
It felt like a falling apart of a character.
God, we could do a whole episode just on that. We could do we probably will. So let's put a pin in this and we'll pick this up on the next episode.
I have so many opinions.
Yeah. Well, good. That's good. I mean, you know, I want to hear them and you know, it's makes it interesting. All right. Listen.
And just to piggyback off that, I actually liked the progression of Luke and Lorelai in the future. I actually did. Yeah. I didn't in the reboot. Yeah. I didn't have any beef with the way that your characters were. My issue was Rory.
Right. That's really where it was. Rory was a big one. Yeah. That was a tough pill to swallow. Anyway. All right. So we'll pick this up. We'll do another, we'll do another segment, down the road. But we're going to do rapid fire right now. Okay. You ready for this?
I don't know.
How do you take your coffee? Quick answers. Let's go.
Cream and sugar.
Yeah. Cream and sugar.
Can you smell snow?
No.
Are you team Logan, Jess, or Dean?
Gross.
I'll say Jess. I have no shame. I like Jess.
He knows both. Well, the only one that you don't know in real life is Logan.
I don't really know Jared. I've met him once or twice.
He's very nice.
Who is? Who?
Jared.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
You know, Milo too. I mean, they're both incredibly nice.
Angela, your reaction was maybe even better than Ted Rooney's when I asked him that question. He just, you know, Ted Rooney said something like, what? And he goes, oh, I don't know. I don't want to get involved in that ridiculous stuff. I don't get involved in that. okay, then you're gonna really love this question. Who's the daddy?
Right? Isn't that the problem? Is that nobody knows? It could be anybody.
I mean, like, what if we even know? Okay, so here's the thing. I even talk about this on my blog post. It's not Jess. We saw him for a split second. It's not Dean. It's got to be Logan, which just makes me mad because I just don't like Logan. I don't like him.
I don't either. I think he's smug and ridiculous.
He is.
Yeah,
he's
too in love with himself. He's too much of a narcissist for me.
I didn't love the whole Ace catchphrase. It just bugged me.
Me too. Yeah. Every time he called her Ace, it was so condescending.
I know. It was weird.
Oh God, you're right. Oh my God. All right.
It's either that or the costume guy, but I feel like the timeline didn't work out right for the costume guy, whatever they called him. I don't remember.
Because
she had a one night hookup, a one night stand.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
She didn't even find out his name, which is so not Rory.
Maybe it was just some random dude that bought her basket again.
I saw Winter. There's only two episodes of Gilmore I ever saw. It's a pilot. And I saw Winter at the premiere in 2016 for the reboot. I haven't seen the other ones. So I don't know what you're talking about.
You watched the series?
That's the whole basis of the podcast is it's a rewatch thing because I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing the show 14 hours a day. I don't want to come home and watch the damn episodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
you know, what's the phrase? You know, I make the sausage. I don't want to eat it. You know what I mean? But now I'm eating it because it's 20 years later and it tastes pretty good. So anyway, all right. Show you're binge watching right now.
We're watching Friends.
Okay.
He's never seen it from beginning to end in order.
Okay. All right. Great show.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It was great speaking with you. You will come on again if you will grace us with your presence once again from Nashville. And this was a lot of fun. You guys are great. Great catching up. Great meeting you, Angela. And let's do this again. I think we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, huh? So be well. And thank you again for coming on and all the best.
All right, thanks, Scott. We'll see you. Let us know if you get down here, right?
I will. Absolutely will. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
don't forget, follow us on Instagram at I Am All In Podcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, scottyp.com, scottyp.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.